Greetings to each of you in the precious name of our risen Lord and Savior again this morning. Due to me being gone for a Sunday, and then the Sunday that we were here was our was Easter Sunday, I was not up to speed on where we would be reading from. And so I had as a backdrop for the message this morning the last verse that Brother Merle read, and I'm just going to repeat it. Matthew 9, verse 13. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I was thinking about all the things that have happened since the last time that I preached. Now, it's been a little unusual. It was my turn to preach last week, or the week before. Anyway, due to our travels to Liberia and everything, it got put off. So it's been almost 8 weeks since I preached. Going back, that takes us back to before Calvin passed away. Takes us back to before communion. There is a number of other things that happened. We went to the ministers' meetings. And the day before we went to the ministers' meetings, I had an interesting encounter with a young man. Some of you know this story. Some of you don't. I'm going to try to abbreviate it here. But someone that Brother Itto had bumped into on his way out of town. And long story short, he connected him with me, and he wanted to come visit me, so he came to our house. Once he was at our house, I realized he mentally had some pretty major struggles. And I don't know what it does to you to sit at a table and to have a guy be speaking fairly dark things, and it's just you and him in the house. It makes you a little bit nervous, I would say. I think I got prayed up pretty quick. That one ended with us needing to call the ambulance and having him taken in. He was struggling with a lot of things. He was having a panic attack eventually. It was something to work through. And again, attempting to be someone of empathy, of sympathy, of love, showing Christ's love to those that we meet, and not quite sure how to do that in a situation like that. And then I would say that our trip to Liberia was a really good trip, but it was also, we had to work through some things. We had some, I would say, meetings that were good for my humility, and certainly we were able to work through things in a way that was honorable, I believe. But there again, this verse started reoccurring in my mind, and it's a very well-known one, and I think Brother Alfredo would have used it here recently, just in a conversation or something, and that's in Micah 6:8. And it's a song we all know. For he has shown thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. When life happens like that, and not all seasons are as busy as this, but in the midst of that, to be guided in those things with those words, it's something to be thinking about. And then, along with that, I immediately thought, okay, so it would be easy to take that as a grand command from Scripture. But when Jesus was interacting with people on this earth, there was another grand commandment that he gave, or that was given in the Old Testament, that he pointed out as being the first, being all the law and the prophets being combined. And when we look at that verse, there's a lot of correlation between these two things. In fact, in Jesus' time here, there was a lot of interaction and mixing of these concepts or these ideas between what does love the Lord thy God look like? And then Jesus gave a parable, and it was the parable of the Good Samaritan. And there's mercy and compassion throughout all of that. So I will say that I'll probably be looking at mercy more than any of the others, although I do want to touch on all of them. But let's start with reading. We have kind of a dual text because of those two big ideas, if you will. So Micah chapter 6, and we'll just read a few verses there, 6 through 8. Just to give us a little bit of a backdrop, the question is, what does God want from me? What? Verse 6. He asks a question. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? And let's read on from there. So that's the question he's trying to answer. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? That's the question he's trying to answer. And this is the response here. Verse 8. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee? It's not these sacrifices, but it goes straight to the heart. But to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Now let's turn to Mark chapter 12. And here we have the account of Jesus and his interaction about the great commandment. We will start in verse 28, reading through verse 34. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceived that he had answered them well, asked him, What is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, Well, Master, thou hast said the truth. For there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. There again, that connection. He was in Micah, he was asking, can I give enough burnt offerings and sacrifices, even if I'd sacrifice my own child? Would it be enough? Here he says, this is greater than all of those things. And Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, and he said unto him, Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any questions. Any question. Going back to Micah chapter 6, verse 8, I would like to just pull that apart a little bit. The first word is to do justly. Now, when we think of justice, I think we often think of God. It is one of those attributes of God that it's who he is. And we'll get to some of the other things in a little bit. But this is a call for us to do justly, not for God to do justly. God does justly, but can we come in alignment with God's justice in our hearts and lives? Now, I think it's a way of moving through the world in how we interact with our brothers and sisters, with the people around us. When I'm interacting with someone I don't know, like this young man, can I interact with him in a just way? Can I do it justly? But to get an idea of justice, and I would like to look at a little bit who God is in this regard. A.W. Tozer said this on the justice or God's justice, or the attribute of justice within God. Justice, when used of God, is a name we give to the way God is. Nothing more, and when God acts justly, he is not doing so to conform to an independent criterion, but simply acting like himself in a given situation. As gold is an element in itself and can never change nor compromise, but is gold wherever it is found, so God is God always, only, fully God, and can never be other than he is. Everything in the universe is good to the degree that it conforms to the nature of God, and evil as it fails to do so. God is his own self-existent principle of moral equity. And when he sentences evil men or rewards the righteous, he simply acts like himself from within, uninfluenced by anything that is not himself. I know that's a little lengthy, but the essence is that justice is who God is, along with all his other attributes. And we'll get to mercy in a little bit. But it's not something that is influencing God to be just, but it's an outworking of his character, of who he is. And I believe the better we do at aligning ourselves with God in this, the more we are actually just. And we'll get to some, this is all kind of mixed up because mercy enters in here, and it's hard not to talk about mercy when we're talking about justice. But here's another idea that I came across in my studies, and I think this is now dealing with mercy, but I think it also deals with justice. Mercy is a virtue which inspires us with compassion for others and inclines us to assist them in their necessities. That works of mercy may be acceptable to God, it is not enough that they proceed from a natural sentiment of humanity, but they must be performed for the sake of God and from truly pious motives. And I think you could say that about justice as well. We can act on what we perceive as justice that is skewed from who God is, and we need to be careful of that. I was blessed. Throughout Scripture, there's mercy, the mercifulness of God, justice. All these ideas are big concepts that are throughout Scripture. And Brother Dan's devotions this morning touched on mercy. And our Sunday school class, we were speaking about both honor and dishonor. We were speaking about a lot of things that are surrounding this idea of justice or a right way of doing or being. And so it's been a blessing. There's ways that the message could have taken, but the paths that God did not lead me down. So I would like to now change gears just a little bit and look at mercy. And let's turn to Matthew chapter 18. And we have another account that Jesus gives. And it's hard to separate mercy, compassion, forgiveness, although they're distinct things, and we'll get into that a little bit. I hope you will stay with me here as we look at the different ones, and we can parse this out a little bit. Matthew chapter 18. Verses 21 through 35. Then came Peter unto him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Until seven times? Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven, and now he tells a parable that I think is telling. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. Forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and his children, and all that he had, in payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of the servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. And the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison until he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told their lord all that was done. And then his lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desiredst me. Should not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, until he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise, and this is Jesus putting in the punchline. This is why he told the story. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. Jesus is driving home the point that as we are willing to forgive others, God is willing to forgive us. And it's an act of mercy. It was clearly an act of mercy for this king to forgive that debt to that servant. It was also an act of justice for him to then rescind that when that servant didn't pass it on. I think it is telling that both in this parable and in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus clearly links our willingness to forgive our brothers and sisters, which is an act of mercy, to how we are forgiven, how God forgives us. So if we harbor unforgiveness in our hearts, it is not an act of mercy. And God will then also mete out justice. It's part of God's. So to me, it is, we do not place enough emphasis on from our hearts forgiving our brother. Every little thing that we, it can add up, and it might be big things. But that is an act of mercy. Forgiveness is an act of mercy. And I am blessed by that idea. So is mercy separate from forgiveness? And it would seem to me that forgiveness and mercy are very intertwined, yet have distinct meanings in Scripture. Mercy is withholding a consequence that is deserved. Forgiveness is choosing to release others of wrongs committed against me. So that's my definition. I'm open to correction on that. Colossians 3, verses 12 and 13. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. Ye, our impetus or our reason for walking through this world in a state of forgiveness, in a state of mercy, is because of what we have received. So when we are unwilling to forgive, I think we should look back and wonder how well we're doing at receiving what God has given us. It's simple and yet so hard. In this way, forgiveness is mercy in action. Although not explicitly stated, mercy is one of the drivers of forgiveness. And I think it's important to emphasize there in Matthew chapter, in this parable, at the end, Jesus emphasized, if ye from your hearts, in other words, we can't just outwardly do it, but it needs to come from within that element of forgiveness and mercy. In the account of the Good Samaritan, let's just turn there, Luke chapter 10. And again, this was in response to that question, who is my neighbor? When Jesus said the second greatest commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself, the question came, who is my neighbor? And then Jesus told this story, this parable. Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. I think we'll just quickly read it. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answered and said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among the thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Now Jesus asked the question, Which of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And I'm struck by the word that this lawyer used. And he said, He that showed mercy. There we have mercy again. Then Jesus said unto him, Go and do thou likewise. Mercy is a very large component of loving our neighbor as ourselves. When we look at how at our lives, our day-to-day lives, it is easy to see where other people need to be merciful. But how easy is it for us to be merciful? That's something I see in my own heart that I'm convicted of. I'm willing to see where other people should be merciful, but then I think I'm landing on justice. But in reality, is it justice? If it's not how God would be, then it's not justice. That's my own version of it. In this parable, I believe that Jesus is pointing out how easy it is for us to see it in other people, but unwilling to see it in ourselves, the need for mercy. So, this is, I don't know why my mind works this way, but one of the things that I thought of as a question, so is mercy opposite of justice? Now let that sit a little bit. Is mercy the opposite of justice? And I started looking. My conclusion is that that's not quite accurate. Injustice is the opposite of justice. Mercy comes in somewhere else. Mercy does not disregard justice. I think that's the way I would like to put it. Now, mercy can reduce or tamper the harshness of justice. And I also believe that mercy reaches out to people that are in misery. See, mercy doesn't always have to come in where there's been wrong and we're not giving someone the full consequences of their wrong, so we're using mercy. But instead, mercy can reach out to those that are less fortunate than us. Mercy is as a heart turned towards kindness and love for our fellow humans, for our fellow humanity, regardless of their condition. Mercy offers a healing touch to a person that is hurting. But that doesn't completely cover mercy, but it is part of it. And I believe that is part of what, to love mercy is to have a heart that has a compassion for people in whatever state, whatever place they find themselves, whether it's because of their poor choices or if it's because of just life happening to them. I believe mercy is the quality that keeps us from being unjust in our zeal for justice. So I have watched this happen with my children. When they have been wronged, their idea of justice, and I'm using that as an example, but I can be the exact same way as a parent. Their idea of justice is to do one worse than what was done to them. And we, without God directing us, we can have that idea of justice. I believe mercy tempers that, and it keeps us from being unjust in our justice. I also believe mercy can be shown mostly by those that have enough power or authority to wield judgment. So that's another aspect of mercy. It's not the one that has no avenue and no voice. It's those that have, if you're able to show mercy, it also means you're in a place that you can show love and kindness and also judgment. So that's something to think about. And lastly, the instruction is to walk humbly with our God. I found it's so throughout Scripture, all of these words, that I'm only touching the tip of the iceberg. But I will say this, Matthew chapter 23, verse 23, Jesus pronounces a woe, and there's such a combination of words here that I cannot ignore it. And this is where I'm just going to read that verse. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin. And here again, this idea of the offerings and the tithes, it ties right back into how our section started in Micah. And then he says, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, faith. Now, these ought ye have done, and not to leave the other undone. I'm not saying that, I believe that faith would be a way to sum up walking humbly with our God. I believe those two can interact fully. Humility. We're called to humility in justice. We are called to walking in humility in mercy. We are called to walk in humility in forgiveness. And we are called to humility in walking with God instead of my own self-righteousness. And I think that's a place where we can be very weak in. We look around at all we do and we say, well, I'm doing pretty good. But That's not walking humbly with our God in faith. When I look at the overarching lesson in this passage, I am again reminded that we are called to live our lives in service to others. As we strive to serve Christ in thankfulness for what he has done for us, we move through our daily lives looking for opportunities to channel God's love to others. Let us do so being justly and loving mercy and walking humbly with our God. Let's kneel for a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Father, I just pray that you would help us to be able to understand and to take in a new way your call to us to be just, to love mercy, and to walk with you. Father, I thank you for the body of believers here and for the testimony and the lives that are lived here. We thank you for your loving kindness to us. We just pray this all in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.